Our text this morning comes from John 11, the verses 25 and 26. John 11, verse 25 and 26. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" After the ministry of the word, we'll sing from hymn 35, stanza 4. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this has been a difficult week. All of us are hurting. This past Friday, many of us had the opportunity to gather together and bury the body of our sister Linda Thielen. She has left an empty spot behind in our congregation. Many of you had the opportunity to come to the funeral on Friday to comfort those who are grieving and to be comforted. And indeed, many things could be said and have been said to those who are now grieving. But in the end, words alone cannot provide any lasting comfort. For that, we need to go to Jesus Christ himself. He comes to us this morning in the passage that we just read together, and he says that he alone is the resurrection and the life. In our passage this morning, Martha finds herself in a situation comparable to ours in the sense that she also was mourning the loss of a loved one. Her brother Lazarus had died, and by the time that Jesus arrived on the scene, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days already. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she did not wait for him to come to the house, but she ran away from the group of people who were offering condolences and who were mourning with her. And she comes to Jesus and she says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." But the fact is, he did die. And Jesus could have done something about it, but he didn't. And the unspoken question is, why not? Jesus does not answer that question. Instead, the very first thing that he says to her in verse 23 is, "Your brother will rise again." That sounds exactly like the kind of thing that we would say to someone who is grieving. It is true. It is comforting. But it is also something that Martha has heard many times already from other people in the last 4 days. "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day," she says. In other words, thank you for your sympathy. And yes, we know that we will see him again one day and that he is in a better place. And most Jews in Jesus' days would have believed in a future resurrection of the dead. That's what Martha was thinking about here, that she would see Lazarus again one day when he was raised at the resurrection of the dead. But at that point, Jesus says something unexpected to her. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in saying that, he takes away the focus from her situation and he puts it on himself. He makes her focus on himself in the present. What he is saying is that this future resurrection, indeed life itself, cannot be separated from his own person. That life, Martha, that resurrection that you're thinking of, that comes from me. In John 5:26, he says, "As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." God alone has life in himself. That means that God alone is not dependent on anyone or anything else for his existence. By saying that he has life in himself, Jesus here is saying that he is God. But he's not only saying this to Martha in order to share a piece of information with her. No, he is saying that he wants her to share in that life with him. That is to say, he wants to call people and having a he wants to call them into having a relationship with him through faith. That relationship is one that never ends. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. He says, if eternal life comes from having a relationship with Jesus, and if Jesus is Lord over life, then this relationship couldn't possibly end with death. The Old Testament already hinted at that in places like Psalm 16. In Psalm 16, verses 9 through 10, the psalmist says, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. That is why Jesus can say, he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. If you believe in Jesus, then death cannot put an end to your relationship with him. And one day he will raise you from the dead. In John 5:39, he says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but I will raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and who believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, says Jesus. But there's another side to that statement as well. He who lives and believes in me will never die. You see, the Jews thought of the resurrection as something that would happen in the future, at the end of time. But if true life is having a relationship with Jesus, then that resurrection, that life begins now already. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have that eternal life already. I tell you the truth, he says in John 5:24. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and he will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death into life. That eternal life spills over into this one already. Eternal life begins now. And yes, your body might die, but that is not death in the fullest sense of the word. The Catechism words it nicely in Lord's Day 16 when it says that death is not the end of life, but it puts an end to sin, and it is an entrance into eternal life. How can the Lord of life make this promise in front of Lazarus' grave? Because he would enter that grave himself. He was only weeks away from being crucified at this point in John's Gospel. As he said to Nicodemus earlier, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. He knew he was going to be crucified for the sins of his people, those sins that caused death, and he did it so that they can share in his life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, he says to Nicodemus. Do you believe this? In asking Martha that question, he's calling her to focus on him, not on the current situation. In her reply, she shows that she has moved from a general understanding of what the resurrection means as a piece of doctrine. She has moved to a more specific professional faith in Jesus himself, who is the resurrection. That's what we see reflected in verse 27. It's a confession of faith. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. The verb translated here as believe shows a firm confidence in what Jesus has just said. Only after she has made this confession, only then does Jesus go and raise Lazarus. The point is that the raising of Lazarus is a visual illustration of the reality of what he just said, the spiritual reality. When he says that he is the resurrection and the life, he's not just speaking figuratively. He means that very literally. Whether you be talking about the resurrection at the end of time or spiritual resurrection in the sense that it happens now already. The resurrection of Lazarus shows that this is very real. It is not just a figure of speech. It proves his power over the grave, and it proves that his relationship with his people is not constrained by time or by circumstances. But we don't always fully realize that. Sometimes the Lord uses our circumstances in life to teach us these things, and that's what he did for Martha. He moved her from believing in this as a doctrine to a deeper, richer understanding, a richer, more rich, more personal faith in him as a person. Jesus knew all along that he would raise Lazarus, but that resurrection was not the most important point. The most important point was for Martha to come to a point where her faith in him was strengthened so that she could make this confession. So the raising of Lazarus was just a means to an end. Jesus' question remains an open question for all of us. Do you believe this? Not just as a creed that we confess, but also as personal trust in Jesus Christ, as our own personal Lord and Savior. Do you believe this? The religious leaders of the Jews didn't. Jesus had warned them about that all along. In John 8, he said to them, "I'm going away, and you will look for me. And where I am going, you will not find me. You will die in your sin." And they ignored his words. If you read the rest of chapter 11, you'll see that they hardened themselves in unbelief because the resurrection of Lazarus was a tipping point. After that, they gathered together to plot against him, how to crucify him. And that crucifixion of Jesus was the ultimate expression of unbelief. This is what happens when people harden themselves in sin. There is no neutral ground when it comes to the claims of Jesus Christ. Either you believe what he says here or you don't. So what about yourself? Do you believe? Then the Lord calls you to be confirmed in that faith by celebrating his Holy Supper this morning. But maybe it is not that straightforward to you. Maybe you still struggle with your faith. If that is you, then the Lord still calls you to celebrate that supper. He calls you to focus on what the bread and the wine mean. They are a sure pledge that he has given his body and shed his blood for us. They are sure symbols of our forgiveness. Also, the forgiveness of all of our struggles and all of our doubts. They are an assurance of life from the one who earned that life forever. For you. Amen.